Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Well, I don't want to talk about myself too much, Chad, is the big story of the day, Chad.
Go ahead, man.
So I've briefly talked about that I've had this knee thing going on. And, you know, you've seen me. It's like I'm not getting around great, but I'm not.
Your usual spry self.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like anything overly severe, right? So we were anticipating, you know, maybe it's some sort of meniscus thing or something. So I do have a torn meniscus. So I do have a torn meniscus.
I'm not surprised.
But my torn meniscus also has a buddy.
Oh, who joined the party?
A torn ACL.
Oh, man. Welcome. Almost being 50.
Unbelievable.
And exactly how did this happen again?
Playing catch with my son. Baseball, catch.
And you're a baseball expert of some sort?
Ball was a little high. You know, I'm certainly catchable, but I had to turn to my left. I'm a righty, so I'm turning to catch the ball with my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
And just the motion of turning, not even all that quickly, leg not caught in the grass, not and didn't plant something, and I didn't have to do, I mean, I'm literally just throwing nice and easy, nothing dramatic, but turning just even moderately quickly, tore at my ACL. Didn't know it, felt painful at the time. Painful enough to go to the emergency room the next day. But after 3 or 4 days of, you know, I was on crutches for a couple days, but I wrapped it up and felt better. And I've been just kind of walking around with a little bit of a gimp, without crutches for the past, more or less, it happened June 20th. So we're almost a month into this.
But a gimp? Like the thing from Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, it was like a gimp. No, walking around with a ball in my mouth, which didn't make sense to my knee injury, but it just felt comfortable.
That's how you like to
bring in the gimp. In my case, I was a gimp with a limp. So I go get a MRI.
Uh-huh.
And I go to my father-in-law had a doctor who replaced his knee. He's in his 70s. He's got Parkinson's. And his knee replacement really was awesome. It was like a lifesaver. He was really having a hard time. And he had this knee replacement. It changed his life. It's given him more time. Parkinson's is an awful disease. But he loves to get out and about. And at least, you know, he was able to physically, with surgery, take care of his knee. And the doctor that did that surgery was wonderful. And they recommended him. So I went to him initially, and then Spine One kind of reached out to me and go, "Hey, D-Mac, we look at stuff like this too." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Well, Spine One is the best. So I had an MRI done, and then I went over to Spine One, and I saw them today, thinking, this will just be something they can clean up. And the doctor comes in and goes, "Yeah, no, go back to that other guy. You need an orthopedic surgeon."
Wow.
Yeah. We do stuff, but we don't do this stuff. There. And I reached out to my buddy Lauren Landau, who's now the head trainer with the Broncos, and I told him the doctor that I was.
Should be dropping names all show.
Thinking about that. Yeah, he's incredible dropping these doctor names. Quite an impressive feat by me. And he said the guy that I was originally looking at was a great guy to go to. So I have an appointment set on Friday, and we'll get the ball rolling to see when I want to be out of commission for the next 6 months. When and how and under the knife and all that sort of stuff.
Can we predict a Adrian Peterson like 6 month recovery?
Oh yeah, no, it's gonna be I'm gonna be Drago, in the winter woods training to fight Rocky.
It was
not like Rocky, Drago.
Rocky was in the woods.
Where was Drago? Oh, he was in the lab where it was comfortable.
He was in Moscow in a lab.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like Drago. I don't want to go outside
with punch meters and.
Yeah, I'm gonna be with punch meters and the
digital stuff,
the analytics,
steroids, and the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm much more comfortable with that than carrying a log above my head. You know, I'm into the analytics,
okay.
So I'm gonna be I am gonna be like Drago.
You're gonna be technology D-Mac.
Yeah, I don't think being cold helps you in rehab. I think I'm gonna use the science the best that I can. Who knows what I'm going to do, Chad? Well, you know, it's frankly...
It sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, because now I, like, the first thing I thought was, no matter what, no matter when I have this procedure, I'm not going to be able to ski this year. And that was the very, very first thing I thought. Like, no matter what the situation is, I can't... Like, I'm not stable enough to ski right now. And even if I got the surgery tomorrow, the earliest I could go skiing is... I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. It's done.
March? It's all you, buddy.
Maybe. Maybe March if I had it done tomorrow. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be stable.
No.
You
wouldn't be very. It would be a bad idea. I'm out for a year in terms... I've never gone an entire winter in my life without skiing. So that feels kind of like... that feels like the toughest little blow right there.
It's going to be a trying time, my friend. Having rehabbed many times in my days, this will be a test of mental toughness, pain tolerance, physical toughness.
It's probably a good thing. It's probably a way to reset myself before I turn 50.
What leg is this, left or right?
Left.
Okay, that's good.
Cause I can drive.
You can still drive.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll finally get that rash looked at.
Yeah, like Peyton said, the rash. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks, Peyton.
Yeah. You could,
you know, Chad, it's probably a timeout of my, because I'm kind of halfway through life, because I'm easily going to live to 100. And it's probably just a, let's stop and let's just take, a hold of things. And then I'm going to be a champion athlete again from, 50 to death.
Nice.
100.
Well, you know what? I like your attitude. With under a dark cloud, find the ray of sunshine.
Yeah, I remember when Vaughn had his torn ACL, he came back looking, he was all yoked up and, it was like way too heavy to play football, but he looked nice.
Is that how you're going to be?
Yeah.
Way too heavy to be a radio sports analyst?
I don't think there is a way too heavy to be a radio person. I think throughout the course of time, radio people have push the weight boundaries as far as humanly possible.
That
so,
is correct.
I don't think there is a degree where you can be too heavy. I think Rush Limbaugh has been testing those limits for years and years and years. So, no, I think I'll be okay there.
All right. So, torn meniscus, torn ACL.
Yeah. But here's what's surprising. I mean, it definitely kind of seizes up on me here and there. And I've told you, oh, it's fine. Oh, now it hurts and that sort of thing. But my pain level is like zero, just like sitting around. There's nothing going on. And the doctor was like, yeah, that's the way it can be. He's heard of athletes that have finished an entire season playing on a torn ACL, and then they just, get it cleaned up after the season. He goes, that's absurdly risky because it could lead to all sorts of other, horrible, things. But it's not all that uncommon. I just figured if I had a torn ACL, I'd be in, like, constant pain. So it's kind of like, remember when Ryan Clady kind of like walked off the field one time and then, he had that Liz Frank thing on his foot and he was out for like a year?
Right.
It's like, whoa.
Well, Vaughn walked off after he tore his ACL. And I said, typically guys don't walk off the field. So I thought, this is not going to be that bad. Well, in your case and his case,
yeah,
both torn to ACLs.
You could have knocked me over with a feather when the guy, the doctor, and he's looking at an MRI. There's no mystery here. Right. Now they got it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow, man. Well, this is bad news. But again, find the
silver lining.
Find the silver lining. Find the sunshine, man.
Well, hopefully people just feel just incredibly bad for me. And I already do. I'm not like, well, for other reasons.
You set yourself up for that one, man.
Hopefully this gets me like some special areas that I can be during Broncos training camp. Like, they'll give me some sort of, special DMAC shaded, I can sit, nobody else can sit sort of thing.
Nice.
Like, Fred will leave me alone and I can, maybe I can get out there with like a chair with like an umbrella over it, that sort of thing.
Maybe those put you up on the film lift. You can watch them up
there. Oh, my God. That would be, well, they don't have lifts anymore. They got the concrete, barriers that protect against hurricanes and, tornadoes. And if we had a hurricane here, that would be so weird. But, it's not just the lifts. It's those really, solid right. cement things.
There are.
That'd be freaking awesome if I could just watch stuff from up there.
There you go.
I'd have a little cocktail. I'd have an umbrella. I'd have a seat. I could see everything.
Cigarette?
No, I don't smoke. That's weird. Nuts. You gotta smoke. And by cocktail, I mean like a good cooled Canada Dry ginger ale.
A little splash of cranberry on top.
Maybe.
Pass on grass.
Yeah. Smoke. I'm an epitome of health. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to get yoked and get in incredible shape.
That's what I was going to go to next.
Yeah.
Since you are seeing this
yeah.
as an opportunity for the yeah. comeback.
I've been told that.
What does
you
the
know,
comeback look like?
The comeback, it looks like D-Mac comes back in the most ridiculous, awesome shape of his life.
8% body fat?
A factor of 8.
8, 16, 24.
That was something, good. Yes, yeah. A factor of 8. 8 would be great. That would be 1, but, you know.
16 would also be okay.
Sure.
All right.
Mark this date. Mark this date. On Wednesday, I guess, July 17th, I will be in the best shape that I've been in the past 20 years.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice. It's a great opportunity. You're going to have to go to...
Right. I got to re-examine things. By the time I turn 50 on June 22nd of 2018, I'll be in some of the best shape of my life.
You'll be in rehab facilities.
I'll be in rehab facilities.
You'll have the opportunity to lift there. Do
right.
ride the bike. Get
right.
on the treadmill. Do
right.
all that stuff.
All that stuff.
That
I'm going
to
have to do it.
To do.
Right. That I make excuses for.
Now you'll be there. You have
right.
no excuses.
Right.
All right. We all have high hopes, my friend.
The rash that he has that's unidentified.
A speedy return.
Thank you,
a speedy
Peyton.
Recovery
yeah.
to you, Darren McKean.
Appreciate it. Yeah, see, now you can't hate me as much as you normally do.
You should feel a little sorry for
me. You should feel a little sorry for me.
Yes.
I just feel like I should be in more pain with a torn ACL.
I've had teammates who, one teammate, Greg Lloyd, you know, he was Defensive Player of the Year with no ACL. Not a torn one, with just no ACL. So it is certainly possible. It's rare. I mean, you see when guys...
Don't you think it's quirky that I'm just sitting here, like, not screaming or anything? I mean, Garrett Bowles would be... I should be waving thumbs up to people as I walk out the door.
Pray for me.
Pray for me.
Warning.
I mean... Yeah.
It's touch and go. It's touch and go.
Yeah, this injury is way worse than what Nancy Kerrigan had. Way worse.
It's true.
I mean, it's not even close. I've worked so hard. Why? Is it hard? I mean, how long was she out for? 2 weeks?
If that.
It was like not even.
Right. She had some bruising.
How much time did Garrett Bowles miss? Like a day and a half? He got carried out on a cart.
You were working there like 2 days later. No.
I'm going to tell you this. I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm not bragging. I'm just describing. I didn't sit there and cry. You know, when I was playing catch with my son and I tore, now I know what it is. I was playing catch. I tore my ACL. I didn't sit down on the bench and cry.
I'm a man.
I mean, we finished our workout, his workout. I kind of just stood there and threw him stuff and tried to do the best I could with it. But I didn't, you know, sit down there and have somebody else finish the workout for me and sit on the bench and cry for the second half during the Raiders game. I mean, helping my son play catch. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's a torn ACL. It's way worse than what Paxton Lynch had.
And here you are. Some people's got it, man. Some people are just tough. Some people are overcomers and some people are subcomers. You overcome.
I'm just, I'm not bragging, I'm just describing.
Now
just
this,
telling you what happened.
Now, this happened at home or just happened on the road?
It happened on the road. It happened in...
So you had to travel with this thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
I did a college tour at the University of San Francisco with a torn ACL on crutches.
You walked
the whole
campus?
Yeah. You know how hilly that place is?
Yeah.
It's like the hilliest college in the world.
In the world?
Dude, not find a college more hilly than the University of San Francisco. Good luck. You realize the campus is split in two. There's a north campus like up on a bigger hill than the already pre-existing hill.
I have to.
There is no way there's
Bill
a
Russell. Maybe you can tell me.
There's a hillier college campus in the country than the University of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was on a college tour 2 days later. Yeah, that happened. I have been, like, walking probably too much these days. I really thought it was going to be nothing. The news surprised me.
I'm a little surprised as well. I'm surprised that it doesn't hurt worse, that you're not in more pain.
Right. Now I'm like psychologically freaking out a little bit. Like just even because the doctor tells me, hey, whatever you do, if it really locks up on you, whatever you do, don't like pop it out. Like because it's you could have a bear claw or something. And when you have a bear claw, like it locks and you really need to have somebody massage it because if you pop it out, it's going to. So have the surgery whenever you want. But if it locks up, it could, now I'm walking around like, oh, my God, is it about to lock up?
Have you told your wife or do you get a chance to go home and play the sympathy card?
No, I've told her.
My wife.
I'm going for the sympathy all over the place.
Okay.
Now, she's inferred that we have stayed away from certain marital relations because of the injury to my knee.
Going out to dinner?
Okay, if you want to call it that, fine. So I told her, well, we could try to go out to dinner.
Can't be as acrobatic as it once was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't have to go to Del Frisco's. We could, you know. You could just go to Chipotle, you know.
Keep it classy.
Sure.
Short and sweet.
Right. I mean, you know. Doesn't have to be a, you know, a 9-course dinner at Landry's, you know. We get at that drive through at, you know, at McDonald's. It's okay.
It's an important part of the healing process.
Sure. I'm not saying we can't aim for Ocean Prime, but, you know.
You don't want to hurt yourself, man.
But Arby's has the meats. I mean, we could, you know.
Don't hurt yourself.
Hey,
sure.
Hey. Stop it.
All right. Okay, Big Sexy. Grow up a little bit. Did you watch the Home Run Derby last night?
I caught a little bit of it today. The Miracle
today?
Of the DVR. On the Miracle of the DVR.
Ah, dude. You missed out. That was awesome.
Tell me why it was awesome.
Oh, it was a the format is perfect. Mm-hmm. It moves along quickly. It's an incredible endurance test because I think Kyle Schwarber, I love the elimination process, meaning you have to beat another guy and it's more or less quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. So by the finals, I think Schwarber hit something like 56 total home runs. So think about this for a second. If you hit 56 total home runs, you're not hitting, you know, everyone out. You're probably hitting, what, one of three?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had 56 home runs, you had three times those swings, you had between, you know, 160 and 175 swings. So you're swinging the bat 160 to 175 times pretty much as hard as you can. Like, that's not a normal batting practice. You do not swing the bat as hard as you possibly can for 170 swings for batting practice. Never mind the fact they were actually doing BP to warm up for the, you know, Home Run Derby itself.
Right.
So the effort, and this is a packed crowd at Nationals Park. Packed. Sold out. And Bryce Harper is the hometown kid.
Wasn't Big Sexy questioning whether he deserved to be in the home run contest? Who was
No,
that?
That was Zach Bye who questioned whether at hitting 214 he
there
deserved
we go.
To be.
Zach. Sorry, Big Sexy.
Because Zach doesn't understand the concept of what an all-star game is.
I just don't think Bryce Harper is worth $300 or $400 million.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh. Did you watch the home run derby yesterday? Do you realize he's a league MVP? Do you understand what he's capable of doing?
He's a home run derby comeback winner.
Yeah, he's the total player. Is he having a down year in terms of batting average? Yeah. What's his WAR, by the way? What's his wins against replacement? Yeah, I bet
$7 million.
It's a weird stat. It's like if you have eight, if your WAR is eight plus eight is something that's like extraordinary.
This year, 0.0.
His WAR is bad. What's his overall WAR for his career?
26.1.
How many years? Yeah, he's having a down year.
7 years.
7 years, 26, so.
Since the start of May.
He's hit above 300 twice in his career.
Since the start of May, a 187 batting average.
Yeah, he's been down. I agree with that.
Strikeouts.
Did you watch him last night?
23 home runs.
I'm sorry. Two out of his 7 years, he has hit above 274.
Dude, get over batting average.
What would you like me to go off?
Power numbers, OPS, WAR. You know, slugging percentage, things that RBI, things that actually matter. Batting average. Who cares about batting average? I don't care about any. I don't care about
antiquated with our stats.
I don't care.
Stuff.
I don't. Why would anybody look at anybody's on batting average except if you want to be a leadoff possession type of hitter?
What do you consider a good OPS then?
On base percentage plus slugging percentage.
for a player that deserves $300 to $400 million?
900.
He has broken that 900 barrier twice in his 5 years.
All right. That's what I consider good.
He's broken 80.854 twice in his career.
I'm a Bryce Harper guy. What can I tell you? You want to make the anti-Bryce Harper arguments? Fine. You want to say Nolan Arenado's a better player? Okay, fine.
They're both really great players. They're just not worth $300 to $400 million.
I'm sorry. Is it your money? You're worth the going.
Big you can have an opinion, Big Sexy. Just be clear.
What do you mean worth? What does that mean?
Don't let D-Mac stop you.
You're worth whatever you get paid. Are you worth what you get paid, Brian?
Way more.
Are you worth way more?
We can't pay.
There you go, Chad.
Right,
we cannot pay Big Sexy enough.
So what are you doing about it? I'm telling you what Bryce Harper's going to do. He's going to go to free agency. You're worth whatever you get, man. Whatever you settle on.
Is Albert Pujols still worth that 10-year, $240 million contract?
Is he getting paid that? He is. Then he's worth it. Is he worth it? I don't know, man.
You have to look at the long-term deal when it comes to signing a player to a 10-year contract. Is that player going to be worth the money that we're paying him 6 or 7 years down the road?
If you don't think he's worth it and you don't think he's that valuable, then fine. He's worth whatever anybody will pay him. I'm not even looking at the money thing. I'm just looking at the baseball possibilities with Bryce Harper, who's already been a league MVP and has the power potential that is just, he's ungodly talented. The only thing that was a handicap for him was his dad. His dad couldn't throw him strikes. His dad by far was the worst of all the batting practice type of home run derby pitchers. It wasn't even close. His dad was missing spots. I mean, not even, you know, you just got to set the ball more or less in the same spot every single time. And his dad was moving it all over the place.
But his dad tear his ACL?
Did his dad tear his ACL? No.
Okay.
You know why? Because Bryce Harper's dad is way on steroids. And
it was glorious.
And Gary Kubiak thinks he has a bad dye job on his beard. You got to see Bryce Harper's dad. He looks like Randy Macho Man Savage.
That's not a good look.
Dude, Bryce Harper's dad is yoked, and he does not have one speck of gray in his beard, and he's got to be at least 50. I don't know any dudes who have a beard who are close to 50 that there's not one speck of gray into it. You should have heard the post-game interview, the post-home run. You would think Bryce Harper's dad, you know what you say? Even if you pitch and your son just won the home run derby, you say, I'm really proud of my son. You know, I'm so proud to be his dad. Bryce Harper's dad was like, hey, you know, we had to get a little bit more focused. You know, we had to get things together, but, you know, we did. So, you know, it's good. Oh, we got it? Oh, you're the best, Big Sexy. How great is Big Sexy?
He's underpaid. That's what we know.
Here's his dad.
I was thinking the same thing as him. Let's pick it up or we're going to lose. I don't want to lose. We already lost one. We don't want to be the, you know, second fiddle to anybody. So it's all good, man.
Do you like it when parents say we, talking about their children?
Gotcha. Dude, you were throwing BP. All you had to do was throw the ball over the middle of the plate at a moderate pace from 30 feet. That's it. I mean, I don't want to brag again, Chad, but I'm pretty sure, even with my ruptured ACL.
I would say, but did he tear his ACL?
You know what, dude? I don't mean to be cocky here, but I'm pretty sure I could throw some, you know, softies to Bryce Harper so he could hit him out. We got to do something.
We had to pick it up.
Do you know how many people could hit like Bryce Harper? Like nobody. Do you know how many people on Earth could throw the balls to Bryce Harper for him to hit?
A lot of bodies.
Yeah, like almost anybody, but no.
I was thinking the same thing as him. Let's pick it up or we're going to lose. I don't want to lose. We already lost one.
We? Dude, you're throwing the ball from 30 feet down the middle of the plate at a moderate pace.
We're a team. Yeah, I don't like it when parents...
And he couldn't do it. He was missing. He was throwing balls left and right, high, low, inside, outside, and then, you know, fortunately, he threw enough gopher balls up there that Bryce Harper, in like 43 seconds, hit 9 home runs. I mean, it was awesome. And then he ties it up with time, and he hit a ball more than 440 feet. I think he hit one 473. Think about that for a second. In the middle of summer, in a very humid place, Washington, D.C., with a wood bat, with a ball that's barely being thrown hard, Bryce Harper hit a baseball 473 feet.
Speaks to his talent.
I mean, what the? Wow. I mean, how is that not awesome to watch? In front of your home crowd, he got the extra bonus time, which I think is an awesome part of the contest. And then I believe on the third, you know, terrible pitch thrown by his dad, he smoked one to dead center to have an epic two-hand bat flip to raise the trophy in front of his home crowd.
That's how you do it. That's how you draw it up.
You think the All-Star game is going to be more interesting than that?
No. That's a very tall hill to climb.
It was really cool. And I'm such a big Bryce Harper fan, man.
We figured that out.
Love that dude. Dude loving dudes. That's what we do in sports. It's dudes loving dudes.
Sometimes
I'm glad you caught it on the DVR.
Yeah.
Would you have power yoga or something? Or what were you?
That's tonight.
Yeah. And just flip it on live at home and just sort of, you know, had something else going on?
I'm busy.
Really?
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock at night, you're busy last night on a Monday night?
Yeah.
The middle of summer?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I had to do some
okay.
Office stuff.
And can I possibly drag you into this baseball world at any level?
Yeah, you
can. To get your interest?
You can.
I mean, how can I do this? If I couldn't get you interested in last night, how am I going to get you interested in baseball?
I DVR'd it. I watched it this morning.
It's not the same. You already probably knew what happened. You probably already knew he won.
Yeah, it did eliminate the drama of the moment because I knew he got a comeback win. But still, watch the athletes swing the bat is impressive to me.
All right.
I have an appreciation for it.
You sort of watched it. I got you. it's an insult to me.
I'm sorry. I use technology to be efficient with my time.
I just can't believe how good these guys really are.
It's impressive. It really is.
It is. All of them were amazing.
Yeah. It's really, truly impressive.
I got the dude from the Astros is 5'10", like a buck 90, and he's ripping them out left and right. Bregman. Oh, boy. Did you hear that? That was a little slow
right
there.
Golly,
sorry. Yeah. All right. All that being said, Big Three, we got that coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Chad Brown in for Alfred. There's accusations that Bryce Harper's dad, who couldn't throw a strike, cheated by not allowing the baseball to land before throwing a pitch. Do you think Bryce Harper's home run derby championship is tainted by his dad cheating?
I'd have to see the video to...
Oh, he cheated. he definitely was throwing pitches before. First of all, this is the world's dumbest rule.
Right.
Like, explain to me why the ball needs to land before you... throw the next one. Now, a reasonable reason is there's, you know, 49 little kids out in the outfield that are trampling all over each other, and you need to let the ball land so one of the kids doesn't get crushed. The easy thing to do with that is, let me think about that, not have any kids on the field. Like, I'm pretty sure we have enough time to pick up the 10 or 11 baseballs that somehow don't leave the yard between each round. I don't think there's an inherent value to having 49 kids chase after, you know, fly balls. I mean, heck, you can keep them all in the bullpen, and like an Easter egg hunt, you can release the hounds, and they can all trip all over each other. As it is, it's absurdly dangerous that you would put that many little kids all kind of beating each other up to get fly balls, or possibly getting rocketing line drives, scalding them off the skull when the ball has an exit velocity of like 120 miles an hour. Whoever thought of having the kids out there is a moron. And clearly what you should have, because the contest is pretty cool, just let the pitchers fire the balls as quickly as humanly possible. If you want to swing before the ball lands, who cares? So, yes, did he cheat? Sure, he cheated. but probably a lot of pitchers, you know, cheated. Who cares? It's a dumb rule. I don't care.
Wow. Number one, it is a rule. So if other people are adhering to the rule and you don't, that is cheating. So your point is it is cheating, but it's okay that he cheated because the rule is stupid.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And save the kids. Get them the hell out of there. You've got to agree with me on that. I mean, why do we need 49 kids when it's quite possible that severe line drives or, you know, incredible one hoppers could be smashing through the skull of a 7-year-old out there. I mean, whoever thought of having little kids out there is a moron.
I will agree with that.
Jeez, bongos.
Three!
ESPN put out its 2018 NFL All-Retirement Team. Do any of these players have any interest to you to come back and play this season? Carson Palmer, Matt Forte, DeMarco Murray, Joe Thomas, Richie Incognito, Nick Mangold, Eric Wood, Zach Strief, Jason Witten, Vincent Jackson, Rodney Adams. I'll leave it just with the offense.
Wait, to come back and play for the Broncos?
Yeah.
Why? Well, how's Joe Thomas doing?
Well, he's retired.
What's your question? I mean, so what do you...
Any of these guys who you would like...
Joe Thomas.
Wait a second. But the first question, you asked me a question, then you answered your own question.
Yeah.
Then I asked you a direct question. Yeah. You asked me, what's your question?
Yeah, because I was barely paying attention because I was confused. But you're asking me, what guy who has quit football would I want to see back on the Broncos?
Right.
I mean, it's a weird question because are they thinking about coming back? But Joe Thomas, I guess.
All right.
Because we suck at offensive line and Veldier's hurt. But Joe Thomas may have brain injuries and I don't know. You guys share the same agent. Why don't you call Peter up and figure out if Joe's interested? If I'd have Joe back. Who would you like to have back?
Joe Thomas would be the one I think would fit the best and be the most beneficial to the Broncos.
Why don't you call Peter up and see if that's a possibility?
It's not going to happen.
Do it!
Okay.
Just do it!
Joe Thomas made an interesting deal with the devil. He decided to become one of the most popular athletes in a city for no apparent reason. He decided to become the king of Cleveland. He decided to become Drew Carey part two. Why? I don't know. You know, Joe's not from Cleveland. I doubt he'll, I mean, maybe he'll stay in Cleveland. He probably should. They're probably erecting statues. And to overcome losing and the fact that he'll never win a Super Bowl championship.
A playoff game.
Never win a playoff game. He decided to make funny video cable shows. He seems like a good dude, but I really question his desire to win. And he had several opportunities to sort of, you know, make things easy for himself and the organization, and everybody could have benefited. And I don't know what to say about guys that are happy losing. I don't know what to say about Todd Helton when he was happier to lose than to move. I don't know what to say about Tony Romo, who was happier to retire than to try to go somewhere else and win. I'm not sure what to say. You know, you have a level of compete that's just not there with other athletes. What am I supposed to say?
There's no correct answer here, clearly. But my thoughts would be, yes, for some athletes, loyalty outstrips the desire to win.
Yeah, there's some guys like Karl Malone who wanted to win a championship, tried, and failed. There's some guys like Ray Bourque that were willing to put his legacy in Boston away for a short period of time so he could win a Stanley Cup championship. There's guys like Peyton Manning with 4 neck surgeries that could easily retire into the broadcast booth or anything else, whose desire to win burns so bright that they have to compete to win.
Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to lose?
So there's levels of athletes. And Joe Thomas, to me, is of a sub-level. Todd Helton is too, sadly. I don't get it. I don't understand. Chad, you're with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You were willing to uproot your family from their schools and their home to play special teams for the Patriots to try to win a Super Bowl ring.
Heck yeah,
and your
I like
15th
winning
year.
That much. Yes.
Yeah, and it didn't happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you literally, there was no farewell press conference for you.
Not in Seattle, no way.
You were just cut at the end of the day by the Patriots, not returned. Nobody else had you back. There was no rocking chair moment for you. There was no going away press conference. You just nobody wanted you anymore after 15 years.
Teams wanted me. I didn't want to go back for year 16.
Well, then maybe you're a quitter too.
Bongos.
Three.
I didn't know that. I thought nobody wanted you anymore. Should have gone back for year 16 then.
I don't want to go to a team that didn't have a chance to win at all.
Was that your only option?
the best teams in the league were not knocking on my door.
Just crappy teams that needed old guys?
Pretty much. And I thought, why do you need me? You're not going to win anything.
That's a good question. Who was the team?
We're not going to get into all that.
All right. Let's go Eagles. All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, you know what? I'm going to get to Le'Veon Bell first, and then I'll get into the ownership in football at 4, okay? Because there's an article out there that we'll explain. It's the Drive on the Fan.
It's the Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, there's a...
You're keeping in step.
An interesting article by John Wertheim and SI.com about NFL succession, and the cover photo is actually of Pat Bowlen. It's a nice photo of Pat and a statue that's outside the stadium, and the Broncos are in the middle of this. I'll address it after 4 o'clock in terms of what you really should know in terms of the Broncos. There's a couple of thoughts out there among social media today about, you know, where the Broncos stand compared to everybody else, and not all those thoughts are accurate, but after 4 o'clock, Le'Veon Bell. This is stunning. The Steelers offered Le'Veon Bell, a running back, 26 years old, a 5-year, $70 million deal that he's turned down. Wow. And the reason why he turned this deal down, Chad, was because he wanted to be paid like more explosive offensive players.
Receiver.
Yeah.
Quarterback money.
Really quick, Ian Rappaport came out and said that $10 million was the total amount that was guaranteed.
Le'Veon Bell is wildly out of touch with the role of the running back in the NFL. And if I was the Pittsburgh Steelers, I may trade him.
Wait. Let's unpack that first statement. He's wildly out of touch with the role of the running back in the NFL.
Yeah. The value of the running back.
Okay.
Because, maybe that's what better said.
Because for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell had over 400 touches. So he's incredibly valuable to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Meh.
80-plus receptions as a running back.
Yeah.
300-plus carries.
Yeah.
So he's inherently valuable to
what they do. Do you know they scored just as many points without him as they did with him this past year?
Okay.
Listen, you need good, talented offensive players, running backs, receivers.
They decided once he came back, let's keep giving him the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the NFL or he doesn't have a certain amount of value. But I'm hearing about him turning down a 5-year, $70 million deal, and I get it. If you're in the NBA, that type of deal makes you like the 12th guy off the bench. But this isn't the NBA. This is the NFL. And the value of running backs, I mean, I don't even know what to say about making, you know, $15 million a year, $14, $15 million a year as a running back. That to me is so just absurd. I would be apoplectic if the Denver Broncos were to spend that much money on a running back. I mean, I would be stunned.
Even as one as special as
I don't think he's that special. I think he's okay.
Whoa.
He's a running back. Diminishing returns. The car has been driven off the lot.
Whoa.
Are you supposed to get paid for past performance or future performance?
No, he's been trying to get paid, and the Steelers have used the league policies to prevent him from getting paid.
Yeah, the Steelers are smart. They get it.
Yeah.
They know what's what, and I'm Le'Veon Bell, and I don't know who represents Le'Veon Bell, and I don't know how much you would pay Le'Veon Bell. It sounds like you'd pay him quite a bit.
No, I'm not Big Al.
But would you really pay Le'Veon Bell? Frankly, would you pay any running back $15 million a year in this NFL?
He made $14.5 last year.
Should you pay him 5 years, $70 million for a running back?
No, I give him 3 years guaranteed. You're a running back. You have a shortest shelf life. And that's where, unfortunately, the reality of your production means I'm willing to pay you the salary.
The concept of paying a running
versus the position, the shelf life of that position, which means I can't pay you long term.
I can't even imagine paying any running back more than $8 million a year.
Well, there's only one. And, you know, until AP was cut, there was only one.
I mean, after Le'Veon Bell, who Hey, Big Sexy, do we have a list of running backs? Do you have a list of running back salaries?
Right here in front of me.
All right, what do you see?
Le'Veon Bell, 14.5. LeSean McCoy, $6 million. Lamar Miller,
there you go.
$5 million.
There you go.
Jerick McKinnon, 4.2.
There you go.
Bilal Powell with the Jets, $4 million.
You made your point.
Yes.
So how is Le'Veon Bell so much more valuable than those guys? And the answer is he's not. He's a good player, but there's other good players out there. And it's an insane concept to pay a running back that much money. I'd be surprised if the Broncos spend that much money on all their running backs combined right now. Well, Do you think the Broncos pay $14 million for all of their running backs?
Let's find out.
I bet you they don't. I bet you it's not even close. So you mean to tell me Le'Veon Bell by himself is more valuable than all... Jeez, how many running back rooms in the entire NFL combined make $14 million
a year? He's pretty special.
Le'Veon's agent actually went on Sirius XM and said no matter what the final number was, and I'm certainly not saying that has been reported as accurate because it's not, quite frankly, the most important element of is the guarantee. Said you couple that with the traditional way in which Pittsburgh does its deals, which at the end of the day, nothing's guaranteed after the first year.
What's the guarantee?
The only guaranteed portion of the deal that's reported per Ian Rappaport was the signing bonus of $10 million.
Here's a check for $10 million, and now we're going to pay you $15 million for the, I don't know, whatever.
Right. So, okay, so your question. The Pittsburgh Steelers in 2018 cap dollars, their running back room is $17,500,000. Almost 10% of the salary cap. They're number one. Number 32 in the NFL would be the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
With $2.3 million for the whole room.
Wow.
1.32% of their salary cap.
All right. So that shows the Broncos are on the cheap a little bit there. By the way, that's a really good stat. Do you have the same thing for quarterbacks from last year? Yeah. That'd be fun to look at.
I'm just going to dial it to last.
You'd have to do some math.
No, I can do it. I can do it. I'll go last year quarterback.
Because I always, my theory with how to put a team together is to use a budget in terms of what you need to spend per position. Like, I think your quarterbacks need to be the largest chunk percentage-wise of what you pay for a team. And you can't go, you shouldn't go bottom basement with your quarterbacks. Frankly, you know, if you're going to save some, you know, nickels and dimes, I'd save it in the running back room.
I understand you can find tremendous value. You can get a Kamara in the third round.
Yeah,
you can get,
that's right,
you know, the kid the Chiefs have. So that's certainly available. Le'Veon Bell is a very special talent. I think he is the most talented running back.
Well, if you think of him more,
NFL.
If you think of him more as a receiver than as a running back, you'd help strengthen your argument.
He's
for sure.
He's both. He's the modern equivalent of Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, but that just reeks of somebody who's about to get hurt in week three and be done for the rest of the year.
Marshall Faulk played quite a while.
I got you. So did Emmitt Smith. It's amazing.
Right.
But, you know, that's not something I would sink $15 million a year into.
The guarantees would be tough.
It's absurdly risky.
Yes, the guarantees are tough. I'd pay $15 million, but I would not give a long-term guarantee deal of where there's $70 million guaranteed and now suddenly you get nicked up and I'm holding the bag for $50 million.
You take, maybe look up the quarterback stuff. That'd be really interesting, actually.
I've got it right now.
And hold on to that. We'll hold on to the quarterback thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this ownership article, really, really good article. Everybody should read this article. And I'll give you some of the truths and untruths on the Broncos side of things next.